Well, here we go. I'm going to be preaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I've called this, "Tomorrow is one day too late." God, I have come to be convinced of that reality, that there is a great truth in that. Help us as your people to live day by day for you, putting aside the unrealistic expectations, fears, anxieties we have of past and future. Help us to realize that each day has the troubles of its own, enough trouble that we need to deal with it effectively, righteously, and thankfully for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. That passage goes like this. "I urge you, do not receive God's grace in vain, for God says, 'In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. Around the time that I was graduating from university in New York City and getting ready to do graduate studies in clinical psychology, I determined to do some clinical psychology work in a clinic, if I could possibly do it, and get some experience. So I took a walk to a large, very frightening-looking building a few blocks from the university. It was the Veterans Administration Hospital. I'd been told, you see, that there was some exciting research that was happening there. What they were doing is they were taking catatonic patients, patients who had been unconscious for decades. They were being treated with an experimental drug at this local VA hospital. And the purpose of the research was to see if they could be brought out of their unconscious state. Dr. Oliver Sacks both developed and then did the research there. And his amazing work, and it is amazing, later became the extraordinary film, which, if you haven't seen it, I don't even know how you get old films these days anymore, but if you haven't seen it, it's called Awakenings, and it's really quite remarkable. And in this true film, Dr. Sacks deals with the power, this is the way I see it, the power of being alive today. And he deals with the dilemma of the power of being alive today as such life rears itself in the context of trial and triumph and tragedy. Dr. Sacks' patients had literally slept through their lives. Their lives had just passed them by. They were not dead, but they couldn't see, they couldn't hear, they could not speak. It was all masked over them by that catatonic, unconscious state that they were in for decades. They were what they came to be called was the living dead. Now, incredibly, Dr. Sacks discovered how to awaken these people. Miraculously, these poor unconscious souls awakened. And from the very outset of their awakenings, they did not experience life as we do. That was one of the first things he noticed and found interesting, if not remarkable. Some just jumped around in joy. Others delighted in experiencing the simplest things, such as touching someone or touching a thing, and tasting. One of them found it joyous just to be able to move and to decide, "I'm going to the right," or, "I think I'll go to the left." You know, think about our lives. We can do anything we want. Most of us can do just about anything we want in any direction, anything that comes to our mind and our attention, we can do it. And we're still, most of the time, grumbling and complaining. These people, just to be able to turn left, we're living in a world of ecstasy. When they faced the outside world, which they faced most of the time together, they laughed and sang and danced. They were just out on the streets, dancing, laughing, singing. They knew one thing fully. This moment was their life. They didn't say, "Hey, this is going to be great. I hope it will last forever, forever." No, they said, "This is life. This is my life. I'm living my life right now." They realized something. They realized that they'd been given a gift. And they used that gift of life and awareness for all that it was worth. They drank fully from the cup of life today. That they were given today. They drank from it. They lived in and embracing that joy today. And then, slowly, horribly, the rigid, frozen, catatonic paralysis descended upon them once again. They said goodbye to life, and they re-entered into unconsciousness. I found this just awful and terrible, and no one could possibly want this. And yet, you know what hit me as I began over the years since I saw the movie and read a part of the research work? What I thought about was this. Isn't this what we do almost every day? Even today, by consciously entering into unconsciousness and sleeping through our lives. We do this by attempting to live in the past or to live in the future. But when we do this, the consequence is that we miss what? We miss today. Every day that we are alive, we can miss today if we're not careful with today. We're obsessed with time. We have expressions that reflect our obsession. I can just even quickly, it would come to you, any one of us would have these one after another quickly. We talk about things such as, oh my, that was just lost time, or well, I had a rotten time, I had a lousy time, or I'll do it next time. And if you want to grow in Christ, you know what you say. I'm going to really work at having a quiet time. Our focus is on time, but not this time, not the time of now. In fact, after all is said and done, you know what time is? I think it this way anyway. I think it's the one reality that we all have. We may have money, we may not have money. We may have a good life, or we may not have a good life, but we all have time. We may not have much time, but we all have this time. We have, if we're alive now, that's what we have. We have now before our time is up. Your time is up. That's another expression about time. Do you realize that the only time that really means something is not the last time, and it's not next time. I'll take care of that next time. It's not another time. Well, what time is it? What time is it that really means something? It's this time. It is today. It's now. Here in 2 Corinthians 6:2, we get an absolutely incredible perspective from God about time. Paul says, now is the acceptable time. This biblical reality and truth is so interesting. It goes against how we often live for so much of our time. For most people, now is never the acceptable time. Now is the time that must pass through to get to the hope for real time. Now is the time that gets in the way of hopes and dreams we have for the future and the day coming when we'll have quality time. Now, to most people, is an impediment. It's an obstacle to another time, a better time. We spend our time fighting against time. We're rarely thankful for or embrace the time we have now. But God says something different. God says now is the acceptable time. You know something? Every day that God gives you, every day that you're alive, you know what? Time is on your side. Yeah, I took that from a song. I think it was by the Rolling Stones about 150 years ago. Time is on your side. Yes, it is. No, it's not. You see, that was the mistake in the song. And you have today. You have right now to live and to help you live it well. And there are three realities of time of which you must be aware. The first one, very simply, is yesterday. Yesterday is where you dwell on past mistakes, past indiscretions, past sins, dwelling on them. Even if you've been reconciled and repented of them, we find ourselves often just still groping in them. In doing this, you know what you become? You become a slave to something that you can never retrieve. Past time. You can't retrieve it. This is not the way to live. I'm telling you that. It is not the way to live. You must instead repent of your sins, learn from your mistakes, and then, as the apostle urges, forget what lies behind. The second reality of time is tomorrow. When you live in tomorrow, you live inevitably, if that's where you're living in the fears and the uncertainties of the future, and you're often crippled by these fears. You never try anything. You never accomplish anything, all because you're afraid of that future. You're afraid what will happen if you try, and the future will bring to you failure. When Jesus means for you to view today as far more than simply a trouble-filled entity. We think of that, you know, he said, each day has enough trouble of its own. I don't think he means for us to see it. That today is really a trouble-filled entity. He spoke that way to keep you out of the dead troubles of yesterday and the as yet non-existent troubles of tomorrow. To live today, face today with all that it brings you. It has enough for you to deal with today. But Jesus goes further. In the third place, he goes further. Today, he says, is the acceptable time. Acceptable for what? 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us that today is the acceptable time because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that is the acceptable time for you to come to Jesus Christ, for you to see if there's anything that's holding you back and to get through that. To see if it's sin, or if it's how you view yourself, or how you've been treated in the past, and it's kept you from Jesus, and you think, I don't want it, I've been treated rottenly in the church. Forget about how you've been treated in the church. Think of the king and the head of the church, the bridegroom of the church, who won't treat you badly, who won't toss you away, who will hold you and guard you and keep you, and let it be that prod which urges you on to repent of sin that's keeping you, because it's not other people, it's your own sin. Take responsibility, keeping you from Jesus Christ. Don't blame it on the bad things that happened when you were a kid in the church. Every kid in the church had trouble. Mom and dad said, I want you to sit down, stay quiet for a while. And you didn't want to. You wanted to fly around, you know, or else people didn't treat you the way you wanted to be treated. That's life. Don't let it keep you from the one who is the life. Today is even more than all of that, because if you know Jesus Christ, you know what today is? Today is the day, and it's the time to proclaim Jesus Christ. It's not just knowing him and that's all you do. Our life is to proclaim him. Today is the acceptable time for you to live a righteous and holy life without shame in Jesus, and not being shamed, but loving him, thanking him. You bring that love and that thanks and all he's done for you. You bring it to others. You don't hold on to it for yourself. There's too much for just one person. Believe me, today is the day to have, plain and simple, an acceptable time, acceptable to God, and acceptable for you to live and be thankful for today. So you know what? Enjoy today. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, whatever it brings into your path. If it brings trouble, deal with the troubles before God. Get them straightened out with whoever you need to deal with those troubles. Get rid of those troubles and walk on in faith and trust in God. If the troubles didn't get worked out, continue to work as they need to be. But don't let them hold you back from an experience and a life and a commitment and a relationship with Jesus. Today is the acceptable time for you to get even more involved, you see, in a personal relationship with Jesus. Today is the acceptable time for you to get involved in a more serious study of his word. To really, at this point, perhaps think about it from today, that you really want to get into the word. Not to say, oh, I did my devotions, I read that paragraph, and I prayed for 37 seconds. Well, I'm glad I'm having devotions. No, it's time to start learning that word. To storing it up in your heart, so 119:11, so that you will not sin against him. Today is the acceptable time for you to get more involved in ministry in your church, to be giving back from all that you've received in the church and through the church and through the ministry of the church. Today is the acceptable time for you to begin using your gifts in new and exciting ways, asking God, how can I use them, and expecting to get an answer and then doing something with that. What kinds of things is the Lord having you deal with today? Find out. Ask. Seek God's blessing in this. What he wants you to deal with, to do. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's a project in the church. Maybe it's doing something with your family. What kinds of sin is the Lord calling you to repent of? Repent of those sins. You know when? Now. Don't wait. Don't stop until you've dealt with those sins on your face, on the floor perhaps. Make sure that you're dealing with it. You want to rid yourself of all sin, because now is the only acceptable time to do it. You can't do it tomorrow. You know what? Because tomorrow doesn't exist. You may not even be here tomorrow. Don't you want to get your life right with God when you can? Today you can. Now you can. Now, you see, is the essence of our being. It's now that we live our life for Jesus. What we deal with now. We don't deal with it tomorrow. We don't deal with it yesterday. It's over and it hasn't begun. We deal with it now. What we experience now in every situation we face, whether the outcome, whether it's good or bad, what happens to us happens now. And how we choose to respond to it now, you know what that is? That's your life. That's your life. We need, as the Lord says, to wake up and strengthen the things that remain. You know the encouragement in that is that there are things that yet remain that can be strengthened in your heart, in your life, in your commitment, in your service, in your ministry, in your family, and everything that you have, everything that you are, and everything that you do. Let me illustrate the power today, now, that brings now into your lives through Jesus. It all happens really fast in Acts chapter 3. And by the way, listen carefully, because if you close your ears or if you blink, you're going to miss it. So keep your eyes open if you're following in Acts 3. And watch Peter and John, followers of Jesus, who are about to stop and enter into the wasteland of human brokenness. Their eyes are wide open because they are where they are is right now. And as their friend Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is that moment of salvation. And they're ready. They're ready for it. At 3 p.m, Peter and John are going up to the temple for the time of prayer. They see a man who has been a helpless cripple since the very day of his birth. This crippled man has been carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where his friends leave him. They leave him there when? They leave him there today, after today, after today, every day that is today, so that he can beg for money from those who are going past him into the temple. This man has lived his entire life with a broken body, broken dreams. And then along come Peter and John, followers of Christ, and pass this poor wretch of a man as he begs them for whatever meager monies they have to spare. This is the moment, friends, of his life. This is the moment of his life. This is a man who has not sat around as a passive victim waiting only to die. This is a man who actually, as I think about it, has done all that he can do today. But he knows what all of us know deep within, that all we can do is what? Never enough. When this crippled and broken man sees Peter and John about to enter the temple gate, he asks them for money. This is now, and it's a moment that will never come again. Peter and John hear his plea for money. What do? They pull a Yeshua. They stop. They have none of what he values, but what do? They stop. None of what that he most desires from them, but they see him and they stop, even though they have no money. But you see, it's interesting. They don't just walk on by. Sorry, pal, we don't have anything. See you later. He is not some irrelevant beggar to them. They do as Jesus always did before, that they saw Jesus doing. They stop. Peter and John look right into his eyes. They're not dismissing this man. They're now looking into his soul. They literally fasten their eyes on this man. The man looks back at them, hoping for some quick cash. He's obviously not awake to what is happening in his life now. He is still a broken, crippled, helpless man. And that's how he lives, and that's how he thinks. That's his life. All of that, you see, is about to change now. And to this point, now has been the acceptable time for crawling on the ground, the acceptable time for begging for pennies. But at this moment, now is the acceptable time for healing and for salvation. Quick cash is not the outcome. Peter tells him that, I don't have any money, but I have something for you, actually. I have something better. And I have something for you now that's better. And it's something that's forever. Peter says, in effect, look, I'm sorry, I'm broke, I don't have a penny to my name, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you, and I'm giving it to you now, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah from Nazareth. Walk! As Peter takes him by his right hand and helps him up, instantly the man's feet and ankles become strong. The man jumps to his feet and begins to walk. Where does he go? This would be telling. This would be significant. Where does he go with his first steps? You see, because this is a brand new reality for him. Walking. He's able to walk and he can go anywhere that he wants. He goes with Peter and John into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. He leaps about from place to place like a giddy little boy. This unnamed, crippled beggar leaps straight into the temple court of God to praise the one who loves him and gave himself for him. This moment, which has been his life, is no longer. Today, through Peter and John, this man meets Yeshua. Today, something happens to this man now that changes his life today and forever. Wholeness is far more than being able to stand up and sit down. Don't get it confused when someone gets healed, gets better, whatever. That's not wholeness. Today, what happens cannot be compared with a nickel, cannot be compared with a dime, or even a house filled with gold. Today, he encounters Jesus the Messiah. He knows now, and he knows forever, that he is walking in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we want to know the real forever, we have to become acquainted with now and with Jesus, because now in Jesus, like forever, is the absence of moments. It is the experience of pure reality and truth. Most of us are no different than this crippled man. We spend our life hoping for a penny, a nickel or a dime, whatever it is, the equivalent for us. We fill our lives with the hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today, that something will happen to us the day after today or the day after that. We hope that somehow tomorrow we'll find someone who stops and who does not pass us by. Tomorrow is when we think that we really can begin living. Tomorrow, when it happens, we can live. Friends, you know what life is like? Not that. That's not life. It cannot be like that, because the only day that can ever be different is today. Today is never your holiday. Today is not your inheritance. Today is not the man or woman of your dreams. Today, now, is reality. Today is not simply 86,400 seconds. Today is eternity now. The only day that can ever be different is today. Now. And the next now you have is in the next moment when that's now. Because today is the only day that you have. The only time that you ever really, that ever really means anything is now, today, because now is the acceptable time. The regrets of yesterday, they're dead. The fears of tomorrow, they're not even born yet, so forget about them. Why lose the only day of your life? Today, because of yesterday or tomorrow. You're meant to live and leap and fly today, even if you're glued to the ground. It is all too easy to go through your life unconscious. I mean it. I'm warning you about this. It's really easy to do it. This is the lives I see of people all the time. Unconsciousness. When you give away today, that's how you're going to live. You know what you're giving away? You're giving away your life. You need to wake up and be conscious. All you need is available. In Jesus, you have, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1:2, everything necessary right now for life and for godliness. Now is the time to walk. Now is the time to leap. Now is the time to praise God. Now is the only time to do it. Don't say, I'm going to start praising God and leaping tomorrow. You're not going to do it tomorrow if you don't do it now. There cannot be any other time to leap and dance and live and praise Him than now. The only time you can do what you have to do is now, because today is the only time there is. Now is the right time. If you have not turned to Jesus, turn to Him. When? Turn to Him now. I remember being shaken up by a person at La Brea. I mentioned to you, I think, at some point this past week about La Brea, where my wife and I both came to faith in Jesus Christ, and someone came up and spoke to me, and he was talking to me about Jesus, and he left while we were still there. And I said, oh, well, I need a lot of time to think about it. And he said, think about it. You have time, maybe. But remember this, you don't have forever. And it shook me up. Because we want to think of ourselves as, you know, immortal. And just by our nature, you know, eternal in a great sense of what that means. It's not that way. Turn to him now, today, while it's still today. This is the day of salvation. That means that the forgiveness of God is available to you today. All you must do is repent of your sin. All you have to do is turn to Jesus. All you have to do is trust in Christ. All you have to do is commit yourself to Christ. All you have to do is really believe that the death he died to sin once for all, and he did it for you. Friends, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. And tomorrow is one day too late. You don't know if you have tomorrow. By God's grace, you have today. You have right now. Don't squander today. Use today and use it well. You can't presume that you have tomorrow. And don't be foolish enough to do that. I want to tell you, as I wrap things up, I want to tell you a little story. It happened to me a few years ago. I'd been in a city in Canada doing a conference. I stayed for 3 days at an elder's house from the church that organized the conference. I never got to speak to the man. I was busy at the conference. He seemed to be busy. I never saw him. And as I was getting ready to leave, following the last talk I had to give, preaching on the Sabbath, and I was getting ready to leave his house, he decided to just come over to me. He came to the house that day, came into it and stayed there, and he came over to me, and he decided to tell me about his brother, who had died earlier that year, and he pointed to the couch. He said he died of a heart attack right on that couch earlier this year. And he said there was no warning, there was nothing, he just had a heart attack and he was dead. And then he went on to tell me of a second brother, who also that past year had died of a heart attack. At this point, I was really getting shaken hearing this story. It was a terrible and sad and tragic story. I sat with him in his living room, and I asked him this question. I said, how is your heart? He told me, I am in top shape. The physicians told me, I am not going to be like them. I have no need to worry. I said to him, look, I'm sorry. I wasn't speaking about your cardiac condition. And he said, what do you mean then? If you're not talking about my cardiac condition, what are you talking about? I said, I want to know about your heart before Almighty God. I want to know about your heart. And he was really surprised. And he said to me, you know, I don't know, I'm not sure how to deal with this. I've been an elder for decades in the church that you were preaching in this past weekend, and no one ever asked me that question before. I've never even had to think about it. And you want an answer from me? I wouldn't have asked you if I didn't want an answer. Of course I want an answer from you. So I asked him again. I put it this way, are you ready to stand before a holy God? If you were out tonight, if this day is your day and this is it, that would be all you have, are you ready to meet God? And he looked at me and said, you know, when you put it that way and I think it through, I completely believe I am. I am trusting in Jesus. I love the Lord. I'm assured of my faith in Christ. And even today, if I were to stand before the Lord, and I'm trusting totally in the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And if today I go to be with the Lord, I'm ready. And you know, I was really so thankful and so glad to hear this. And yet I don't know what it was. It's hard to describe. I felt this sense of real uneasiness as I was getting ready to leave his house. And just prayed with him for a while. The two of us were praying together. And then I was gone with a sense of unease. And I got home that night, and I rushed in to our home because the phone was ringing. And it was his wife on the phone. And what she said to me was, Richard, I have to talk with you. When you left, we were standing at the side of the road as you just drove off. And said, Martin just spoke to me about your conversation. And he was just describing how thrilling and encouraging it was for his faith. He was telling me how I know I'm safe no matter what happens to me. I'm ready to meet the Lord if my life is over. And she said that at that very moment, He fell into the road, fell over from a heart attack, and he was dead. You know, friends, as soon as I got on the phone with her, I knew he was dead. As soon as she said, "Richard, this is Agnes," I knew that Martin was dead. I just knew it. That had been what I was fearing all day long. Now is the time you have. You've been given a gift by God. And it's right now. If you do not trust in Jesus, then you know what you're to do? You're to get that right with God now. Don't wait. You know, the worst presumption is to think you've got all the time in the world for whatever you need to have time for. And you don't. Because this day, your soul may be required of you. And if it is, you might say, "Well, it's not been required of me all these years. Why would it be today?" Who knows? The point is, if I'm talking to you about something, that's probably what I would say. If there are those of you here who do not belong to Jesus Christ, and there would be that. I know that. I know that. Anywhere I go, I don't care if it's the most faithful church in the world, there's going to be people who don't know Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying to those people, and I'm saying it to you right now, is trust in the Lord now. Don't stay that way. Don't stay not believing in Jesus. Give your heart to Him. Open your heart. Trust Him. He died for sinners such as you and me. He died and He paid the price that we could never pay ourselves. So He did it. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the promise that's made. So don't hold on to unbelief, foolish unbelief. Don't hold on to the idea that I've got all the time in the world, because you don't have all the time in the world. You have only what's allotted to you, and that when that moment is done, you are finished in this world, and you either go to be with Him in glory, or you go and you are in the outer darkness of hell. And that's the way it is, by the way. There's no options on that. So, turn to Him, receive the great gift of what it is new life in Jesus. And if you do trust in Jesus, then live now, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called in Jesus Christ. Live in a way that's consistent with being one of His, that belonging to Him. And if you'd like, by the way, I'm not leaving here when this is over. And if I've said something that speaks to your heart, and you want to talk to me about it, I'll talk with you as long as you want to talk. If there's a small group that wants to talk, I don't care. I'll spend the night talking with you about this. Why? Because it's that important. Why is it that important? Because it's your life. It's your life. And I respect your life. I desire and hope for you to live a life that goes forever in Christ. If you belong to Jesus, then I'm calling you to live today. For Jesus. Live for Him. Don't live on the idea, "I made a profession when I was 7 years old and that's all I need to do." No. That's not the way to think about it. He is calling you to give your life to Him today. 7 years old is possibly, if you're fairly old, it's a long way away. And that's not what you're living on. You're living on faith and trust in Christ, and you're living and giving yourself for Him. Turn to Jesus if that is His call to you. If you know that's His call upon your life, then respond to Him today. Today is the acceptable day to live and to walk and even to run for Jesus. You never know, because tomorrow has this very strange quality of always being one day too late. May God bless each one of you here today. And may every today of your life on this earth be lived for His glory above all else. So may it be. In God's holy and precious name, so may it be. Let's pray. Father, I pray for this precious flock that is gathered here. Sheep who have wonderful shepherds, and yet some who may be without a shepherd because their hearts have not turned to the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, work in their hearts. If there's even a single person here, even just one who has yet to know You savingly, Lord, work in that boy, that girl, that man, that woman's heart, that they would see that to live is Christ. And even if that day today means the end, to die in Christ is gain. O Lord, let your blessing fall upon those gathered here. Open their hearts and their minds to the beauty and the glory of the cross and the holiness of Christ as he gives his life each time, saying, this is my life for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me, for what you've done for many here tonight, and what I'm praying that you now that you will do for any who are left here who are yet to know the beauty and the love of Jesus, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.